All my life, from the earliest days I can remember, I had a thirst for adventure and the unknown, for a life that existed outside the normal and the everyday. The everyday for me was a small town in northern Texas called Sherman, with roots dating back to pre-Civil War days, where I lived with my parents and brother, sister, and dog Butch in a typical working-class neighborhood. Back in those days, working people made a decent wage and could afford to buy a home and raise a family. My father worked in an oil patch, and my mother, a purebred Okie, stayed at home to take care of the house and kids. The picture of our life was ordinary and Texas provincial. Even Sherman itself was like so many other Texan towns, a mix of quaint small homes and larger Victorian ones, and wide lush green lawns, and a creek that ran directly across the street. As for our house, we had a large backyard with a chain-link fence, with two huge pecan trees in the front yard, and a big pear tree standing at the side of the house. As fortunate as I considered myself to grow up in a town like Sherman, I still couldn't shake the sense that something was missing, and that there was more to life than what I was seeing. My first experience with mystery happened when I was 7 years old. One summer afternoon, my mother asked my sister Charlene and me to clean out the basement. We tried to moan and complain our way out of this chore, but our mother was insistent. The basement was a mess and it needed straightening, and she didn't have time to do it. Eventually, Charlene and I resigned ourselves to our fates. The basement was dim and cool with a few intricate spider webs hanging from the corners. We started going through boxes of old books and old clothes, trying to figure what was good to keep and necessary to toss out. "How do we know what to throw away?" I asked Charlene. "She doesn't care." Charlene opened a dusty book about magic tricks and then slammed it shut with a loud bang. "She just wants us out of her hair for a while." Out of her hair? I didn't know what that meant. My mother usually kept her hair pulled back in a loose knot at the back of her neck. Charlene sighed. "It means she wants us to work so she doesn't have to bother with us for a while. Just toss what looks old and keep what looks new." I went through a box of shirts, most that were big and probably old shirts of my father. One flannel shirt was torn with a dangling sleeve. I put that in the toss pile and kept the rest. "We need to toss out more than that," Charlene told me. I was the one who dragged Mother's old trunk from out of the darkest corner of the basement. "She probably wants to keep that," Charlene said. "Grandma gave her that." When I opened the trunk, a strange odor lingered in the air, like something old and musty and closed off. Inside was a colorful quilt stitched in Cherokee patterns, a couple of wool sweaters, a jewelry box, and a large yellowed envelope with some documents inside that looked boring. "Just put the trunk back," Charlene said as she rifled through more books. "Why do we have so many books? Do these even belong to us?" Then I noticed, lodged in a corner of the trunk, a simple white envelope. I opened it and found a harmonica lying inside, a silver dulled by time. A harmonica! I felt a strange thrill as I removed the harmonica from the envelope and held it in my hand. The harmonica was heavier than it looked, a dead weight in my hand. "Is this Mom's?" Charlene took the harmonica out of my hand and squinted down at the reed plate. "There are initials on it," she said. "JM," she handed the harmonica back to me. "It's probably JM's,"